plug too. Did you notice that? Good job, Stephen. We'll have another one for you next week. But that's who we're trying to reach. And that's the mindset of America today. They don't mind to talk about Jesus, but they just he's just part of the mix. Are you with me? He's just part of the mix. He's not deity. He's not the only way. You know, we're all trying to get to the same place, and we're all, you know, we all love each other, and as long as we do that, then we're okay, you know. And so how many knows that's a false teaching from the Word of God? So let's look at it today. I believe in prayer is what we're going to talk about today. And as Dan came, our superintendent from East Michigan, and taught us, that's one of the things that I thought it was like affirmation about today's sermon that says, you know what? Everything needs to be bathed in prayer. For department leaders, and if you're a leader, and especially in our church, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do two things. I want you to get a easy job description that says this is the heart of what we do. And the second thing I'd like for you to do is have a prayer directive, a specific prayer over your class, if you're teaching, over the praise, if you're a praiser, children's ministry, whatever you're doing, to get a simple prayer directive to say, you know what, this is the heart of what I want you to pray. And then I'd like for us all you to hand those out to everybody in the church and say, you know what, Miss Haley is our new missions director, and I'd like for her to just hand us a slip and say, this is, I'm Haley, director of missions, and I'd like for you to pray this for me every day. You know, I'm the praiser, head praiser, and I'd like for you to pray this over our praise team every day. And just get our church praying over each other and one another, and praying over the harvest every day. You know, our neighborhoods, I hope you're still praying that paper we gave you over our neighborhoods, and I hope you're still doing that, because you know what? That works. Prayer works. Everybody have your Bible today? Ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. In James, the 5th chapter, if you'd like to go with me there, the Lord talks about, or the Bible talks about, how important prayer is and how it touches different needs in our life, and there's different things. That's why I'd like you to have a prayer directive if you're a leader. Same with the video, audio, sound. I'd like you to have a prayer directive that says, pray this over our team. You know, we'll have wisdom and guidance and direction to skillfully handle the machinery. You know, whatever you come up with, that you said, this is what I like our church to specifically pray over us, and give it to your team and say, this is what we're going to pray. That, and I just believe we'll see a difference. And then I'd like for all of us to add to that, and Lord, let us grow. Let us just make more disciples, you know. Let us make disciples in the missions department. Let us make disciples in the singing department. There's more singers, there's more missionaries, there's more children's workers in our communities. And as they come, that'll make it a lot easier on disciples as we disciple them, because you're already praying and investing in our community. In James 5, it says in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? How many has done some suffering this year, or last year, or last week, or yesterday? Maybe you came in suffering today. Spencer just lost, they said, about 20 pounds, and been sick, and it was good to see him smiling and back at church today, you know. But we all go through, and it's just because you're young and healthy doesn't mean you're immune to suffering, huh? And he says, there's a prayer for suffering. Is anyone suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. And how many of you like to just sing when you're happy? You know, I do. I just sing. I'm singing or whistling. Back when I was at school this week, I took another class in the master's program, and there's a lady whistling. I said, you're a lady whistler, aren't you? She said, yeah. I said, most ladies just don't whistle. We ain't lady whistlers. You just like to whistle in here. See? Where? Okay, a few of you. Okay. So you're just whistling. You're not raising your hand. You're just whistling. We'll figure out. Okay. Yeah. Well, she was just whistling, and I whistle a lot. In fact, when I'm usually happy and I'm singing or whistling or something, and sometimes it gets on my wife's nerves. How many of you get on your spouse's or your family's nerves when you're, yeah. Yeah, well, you sad members just need to cheer up, because we're happy and we're not quitting. It says, if you're cheerful, to sing. or whistle or do something. Is anyone among you sick? And so if you're sick in body, it says, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. So he says, you know what, if you're sick, and not only physically sick, but if there's spiritual sickness, you know, there's sin and what have you in your life, he says that you can come in, and not only will your physical body be taken care of, but your spiritual needs as well. Today, Randy came in and said, my joints are hurting, and so right out in the hallway, I just laid hands on him and prayed for him, but he's in the house of God. How many knows that's a good place to come to get your healing in your body? And so there's a prayer for sickness. It says, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. Pastor friend of mine and I, we were out to lunch. He said, you know, we don't like to do that. We don't like to confess our sins and our weaknesses to one another. We kind of like to hoard them, and it hurts us sometimes, you know, just kind of keep them to ourselves and harbor those. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And let me say this. I want to talk to you a little bit. I'll include Abraham here in a minute. But Abraham, remember when he went to Gerar, G-E-R-A-R, and it was the king of the Philistines was there, Abimelech. And remember, Abraham wasn't really honest. He didn't lie, did he? Sarah was his half-sister, but he let the king, his men, take his wife. Now, how many of you ladies would say that I would get kind of offended if we went to a foreign country and I'm a good-looking woman and my husband let the king take me, especially if he was a big, ugly king? Now, if he's a rich king, you might say, adios, I got to obey my husband here. He's going to lavish me with all these stuff, this good-looking guy is. But let's just say he's a big, ugly, mean king. How many would just kind of get offended at your husband? Rightfully so. But he did that, and he still had to pray a prayer over the king. Are you with me? That's in Genesis 20. And he had to pray a prayer over the king. This guy that had really been deceptive and dishonored his wife. And here's my point. Here's what I want you to get out of this. I'll go ahead and preach that now. You don't have to feel like I'm holy to pray an effective prayer. Now, effective, it says of a righteous person avails much. But how many knows we're made righteous by the blood of Jesus, not by our works or how we feel? How many just gets up some mornings you don't feel very righteous, huh? Yeah, you don't look very righteous. I've seen some of you early in the morning. So, yeah. See, I'm not a morning person, you know. Just don't bother me. Give me caffeine and leave me alone. You know, how many like that? And so, but it says, it doesn't matter how you, it didn't say if you feel righteous or not. Abraham wasn't doing a very honorable job, I don't think, in his marriage relationship and what he wouldn't be truthfully or fully honest with the king, but he still had to pray. God gave the king a dream and he said, this is somebody's wife, and if you don't turn her back over to her husband, I'm going to kill you and everybody in your household. The king got up the next morning in cold sweats and he looks at all of his staff and his family and told them the dream and said, the fear came upon them. And this was a guy that had already, you know, here's what Abraham had. He had fear and he had prayer. And guess which one he used? Fear. He used fear. And he said, you know what? I tell him you're my sister. You're a good looking woman. And so if we go over this foreign country. And he said, and here's what he made another statement. He said, God has caused me to wander in verse 13. And sometimes we think we don't know where we are and what's going on in life, we think, well, my prayer is not very effective. Abraham's prayer was effective. In his wandering. How many knows God knows where you are in your wandering? You may not be settled right now where you are and what's going on in your life, but in your wandering, God knows exactly where you are and your prayers can still be effective. We need to get that in our spirit. Because the devil uses that against us sometimes to say, well, you know, you thought this evil thought, or you got angry at somebody and you spewed off, and we think, and it does affect our prayer. I don't want to belittle that, but I'm just saying it doesn't make our prayer null and void. God still hears our prayers and still honors our prayers because of who we are. We are in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of the King. You know, my kids might disobey me. My grandkids, you know, we're taking them to the fair after a while, and they might just be ornery and mean and all kinds. You know, just sometimes they just get in that mode. But how many knows if somebody comes over and starts messing with my grandkid, I'm going to go over and say, "Hey, who are you?" You know, somebody approaches one of my kids at the fair, I'm gonna be right there. Because it's not about how they act, it's about who they are. And it's the same way with you. You belong to Jesus Christ, and your prayers are still effective, even when you don't feel very effective. Pray with all your heart. And if you got some sin, just confess it, and then pray. But don't stop praying. Yesterday I was up here, this is a recent prayer request. I was up here and yesterday afternoon, and I came and I finished the texture on the wall in the children's room, and I had my radio on, and we were just jamming and praising Jesus and doing God's work, and one of my renters didn't pay me what she owed me, her and her husband, and so they paid part, and they didn't pay what we'd agreed upon, and so I said, "Lord, I'm up here doing your work, as I'm using this trowel, and just having a good time. Felt good to be out doing something physical, been sitting all week in class, and I said, I'm up here doing your work, and what about that renter? Would you take care of that in the name of Jesus?" So I got home, and then last night I was in bed and I was looking over my message and meditating on this, and Janice said, "Oh, I forgot." And she brought me an envelope in. She said, "Some little girl came by today and said, give this to Jack." And I opened it up, and it's the rest of the rent in cash. I believe in prayer. See, some of you just fret and stress and worry about it and then call and, you know, and that's why some of you is not landlords, right? And then some of you's got the gift of mercy. It just stress you out and you just worry about it. Wouldn't ever say anything and you'd just die of, you know, stress. But I just prayed and I said, "God, they owe me this money and I'm up here doing your work and I want you to do something about it in Jesus' name." Got home and she almost forgot. I mean, that's right before we went to bed. That's a good answer to prayer right before I went to bed. I thought, I'm preaching on prayer tomorrow. Look, God answered my prayer in cash. Look over to your neighbor and say, "Ain't God good?" Now, I know you English teachers have a hard time with that, but that just gets in here to me, you know. Let me give you one. Here's one. You think, and just to let you know that God cares about you. You know what? We shouldn't take God our gimme list. See, we get into that. Lord, bless my home, bless my children, bless mine. And we shouldn't just do that. How many knows that's not prayer? That's just rubbing the lamp and hoping the genie will answer. But I want you to know that God cares about what you care about. So several years ago, I had a cow when we had cattle, and it got out, and it was just a rambunctious thing. It wasn't bad at getting out, but it was just all time into something, you know, and running the other cattle off. You know, you probably had something like that, just kind of the dominant, and so she was a little aggravating anyway. And she got out, and she got over the fence, and I got a call up here, and one of the neighbors that I had got into it with about, well, he had three dogs that had tried to kill my calf, and for all of you that were here know that when his dogs came back on my property after I saw them physically trying to kill one of my calves, well, I put them down. I shot them. I sent them home to be with Jesus. Are you getting the picture? And really, you know, I'd rather, I do not get pleasure out of that, but this is an investment and somebody's not taking it. I'd rather whip the owner than shoot the dog. I don't have the gift of mercy, in case you're wondering, you know. It's not the dog's fault, it's the owner's fault, is what I'm saying. But anyway, this was his corral. He had my cow in his corral. And he called up here at the office. He said, "This is the pastor." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got your cow up here in my corral." She got out. And I said, "Oh, Lord." I knew she had gone. And, she didn't come up with the rest of her. And I thought, "Oh, man." And I said, "Well, I got an elders meeting tonight. I can't come, but I'll be there in the morning first thing." He said, "All right." Hung up. Yeah. I said, "God, I don't want to deal with this guy, but I'm going to go get my cow, and I'm going to go get the gal." mean, I'm ready to go home to be with Jesus anyway, so I'm going to go get the cow. Some of you may not win God the cow. I'm going to get the cow. It's, you know, I'm not. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I'll go with all the love I get. So I said, Lord, if you would just bring this cow home somehow, I'll take her to the cell in the morning if she's out there, and I just dropped it. Next morning, I got up. Guess where the cow was? Right out there in my corral. I don't know how she got there. I don't know how she... All I know is, I said, told Jan, I said, I'm going to the cell. I'll be back. I'm just telling you, prayer works. Prayer works. If you are suffering, prayer works. There's a prayer. If you're sick, there's a prayer for that. If you have sin, there's a prayer for that. He goes on to say in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Everybody say like ours. See, we think Elijah and them were up here. They weren't. They were just like us. They had their days, their moments. They had times when they didn't feel very godly, and they had all the things to deal with that we have to deal with. So they were just like me and you. And it says he was a man Elijah was a man of nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now, that may not mean much if you live in town and got a lawn, but if you got cattle like Paul and Dennis, that means a lot. I mean, those a few years ago, just a short few years ago, we didn't have much rain, and we were having to ship in hay, all the people that had cattle from different places. I had relatives in Sulphur that had to literally call farmers up in northern parts of the United States and have that shipped in over just a summer or so. So this is 3.5 years. Only the prayer of one person. So prayer not only can affect us personally, but it can affect the nation. In fact, the king and all, he had men looking everywhere for Brother Elijah. Because it was getting very serious. And so he prayed the prayer that God prompted him to pray. And the heavens were shut up for 3.5 years. And verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So how many knows prayer is powerful? I mean, prayer is very powerful. In fact, let me say this on prayer. Some of you that are stressing, I want to give this kind of a personal word here for some of you. Some of you that are stressing right now, I want to give you something that I believe is directly for you today. And that is this. When Abraham was going around, or one of the kings, they usually would build an altar to the Lord. Now in the Old Testament, remember they had to bring animals, a bull or goat or lamb, and they had to slaughter that thing and kill it. But the altar represents death, a dying. And the Bible says without shedding of blood, without death, there's no remission of sins. But here's what I want you to get. Whenever we go to the altar, it's a place of dying. You know, we think it's a place of life, and it is, but first, it needs to be a place of dying. And here's what I know about you. If you're stressing over things, here's what I know about you. There's some carnality that's alive and working well in you. Now, that's not the good news. That's the bad news. I'm going to give you the good news. But I know that about you. When you and I stress, all that tells us is there's some carnality that is alive and working inside of us. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's how we know we're operating in that. That's how he says, that's how they'll know when you belong to me. It's when you have love one to another, not stress one to another. And when we're stressing, this is what I know. Carnality, there's a part of carnality that's alive and well in us that does not belong inside of us. Because it's the opposite of faith. Now, here's what we do. Here's how you can stop stressing. Number one, we can read the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, if you're a high stressor, you need lots of Word, right? You get Word to build faith. If you've got a situation you're wanting to conquer, get you some Word. It'll build your faith for whatever you're needing faith for. That's a promise from God's Word. But the second thing we need to do is hit the altar and do some dying. See, the Bible says, That we should become I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. And so the altar, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, how many knows we have the Lamb of God? He went to the altar for us, and so we don't have to have that dying has already been done through the sacrifice. But now we come, and He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. See, a part of prayer is dying. And I'm just trying to help you here. If you're worried and stressed over something, if you stay at the altar until I die, say, Lord, I'm not getting up from here until I die to this stress. I don't want it anymore. It's killing me. And just take your Bible and open it up and look at some faith scriptures. Pray scripture over you. And I'll show you how to do that in just a minute. But just pray scripture over you and believe and say, and just sit down there and take care of it. Tell it. Don't pray till you get through. Pray till you go through. I'm telling you, this stuff works. Prayer is powerful. But we have to use it. And He said, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why sometimes, how many's ever done this? You've been stressed out and all of a sudden you get out and you pray and you wrestle with that thing. And nothing's changed in the natural, but boy, everything has changed up here and in here. It's like, whew, I got my answer. I've done that I don't know how many times. I'm blessed in the thing that I'm a quick processor. You know, if it's a stressful situation, something really pressing, usually I can process that in about 2 or 3 days, usually. But it won't leave me until I process it and get on to the next. And if you don't know how to do that, you just have to stay before God and keep keep your focus on God and on prayer and on the Word more than you do on your problem. You know. You ever seen a dog that's under obedience to their master? You ever watch one that's really obedient? You know, they come up and they'll sit down there like sit, and they go. It's just focused right there on the mat. I saw one day and it was on TV. It showed how focused they were, and had a big steak, and they threw it down beside the dog, and he just sat there. I thought he's going to start drooling, you know. but he just sat there looking at his master, and he said, "Watch this," and he throws the steak down, and it just sat there. How many's dog would just sit there if you threw a steak down? That's the way most Christians are. We won't, you know, there's whatever's thrown down, if we like it, that's where our focus is. You know, the master's wanting to talk to us, but we're just, oh boy, look here, you know, what's going on in our life, and then we're just focused on something else. And that's what we need to focus on. Focus on the master. And God, you see my situation. You see what's going on. Now, what do I need to do? And I it's a promise from God's Word. My sheep know my voice. And He'll speak to you. He may not speak audibly, but He'll prompt you with promptings that you can get the answer from heaven. We just don't want to linger at the altar long enough to die and hear the answer. Boy, this will help you if you do it. I'm telling you. I mean, just to testify, this will help you. This is prayer. See, if we can't pray for ourselves, then we can't be effective praying for others. And that's where we're getting to. But we need to realize that it needs to get in here. Terry Fowler, remember Terry that came and did our prayer clinic? He told me something the other day. He was auditing one of our classes. He was in there one morning, and he said, you know, Jack, he said, people will not reach and disciple others until it comes from their heart. I thought, isn't that true? And I started praying, God, change my heart. Give me a heart for people around me. Let that be a priority in my life. And we're saying, you know what, we'd like to see 200 on Sunday by the end of 2010. And I think, and I talked to Terry, I've talked to Dan, everybody's come by, and they said, you know what, if you will pray, and if you, everybody will use their gift, that's a very doable deal for your church. These are men that oversee hundreds of churches. So it's a very doable deal if your people will pray and if they will do what God's called them to do. Just do their part, that's all. He says, very doable for your church. So this is our prayer time. I believe that we can get prayer. I can remember Summer, a little bitty thing, when she gained people around her church and have them pray for her over different issues. She just grew up knowing prayer works. I can remember her raising, she was in the pew one time, and little bitty thing, standing up in the pew, and they said that we have a prayer request, right in the service. They used to take them right in their service. She raised her hand down and said, "What are you praying about? Put your hand down." She said, "I'm going to pray you'll quit smoking." She said, "Get your hand down." She's tired of that smoke. And she did quit, too. I like the story about one little boy that they taught him about prayer, and God cares about you, and how if you pray, God will answer your prayer. And one night before bed, he come in. He's about 5 or 6 years old. He said, "I'm fixing to pray. Y'all need anything?" I like that, don't you? "I'm fixing to pray. Y'all need anything?" Of course, there's other kids. You know, I heard a story about a little kid, and they told it for truth. I don't know if it was, but said the kid had been rambunctious in the church service, and said his daddy finally had enough, and he grabbed him up, and he headed out the door with him. And so they got to the back door, and the kid grabbed the door frame and said, "Y'all pray!" I mean, no, Jesus answers those kind of prayers too when you really need him, you know. He answers both. When you're just going to intercede and when you're in trouble, he answers both. But prayer is powerful, and I want us to, I hope you'll come with me and say, you know what, we need to increase our prayer. How many just believe we need to increase our prayer, in specific prayer, and start just bathing our church and bathing our leaders in prayer and seeing what God wants to do through them. You know, I'd like to have a group that would just get together and pray over our praise team, and then specifically pray over our youth praise team, and over our sound people, and our youth pastors. And we really need prayer for our youth pastors. Boy, they're a mess, I tell you. That was one of our youth pastors. No, they're I love our youth pastors. They're great helps to me. But you know what I'm saying? Just to say, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm co-laboring with you. And when you get up there, you can just know you've been bathed in prayer. I know people, some of you tell me just quite often, you know, "I'm praying for you, and I'll lift you and Miss Jan up every day." And man, that's awesome. But I wanted to spread that out and say, you know, give some prayer directives and let's pray for each other and watch the power of God be released. How many just like to see a healing service going on while our kids are up there singing, you know? Wouldn't that be something? Just people getting healed of all kinds of things and needs being met. But we need the power of prayer. Get the anointed prayer coming in. I want to show you a little bit of praying over yourself. In Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And it says in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." See, now that's a scripture. Develop a habit. You know, develop a habit of praying scripture over you. And let me give you, meditating on this the other day, and I just typed this out for an example. But if you wanted to pray those two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2, over you, it'd be something like this: "Lord, today I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you." See how personal that is? "Today, Lord, this is my declaration. I worship you with my heart, my body, and my actions. I'm a living sacrifice today. Lord, I will not be conformed to the world, but today I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind in your word. I thank you for revealing your good, acceptable, and perfect will to me today. Amen." See how that is? That's personal, isn't it? That's declaring the word over yourself. David did that. And he said David was a man after my own heart. And David did that when he would say things like the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture." And I've heard scholars say that they believe when David wrote this 23rd Psalm and prayed that over himself, he was literally running from Saul at that time. So he wasn't in green pastures, and he wasn't beside still waters, but that's where he was headed. And he said, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's got good nourishment for me, even when everything around me is going wrong and the pressure's on. And then he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So he's declaring that over himself. You're with me, Lord. How many need to change your prayer from, where are you, Lord? to, you're with me, Lord. Don't you see my problems, Lord? To, you're going, you know, you are more powerful than my problems. You know, praying scripture over you. That's what he did. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this is what I will do. This is what God will do. That's praying prayer over you and over your families and over your situation. You know, learn how to do that. Learn how to pray a fervent prayer over you so you can get healthy in your prayer life. Here's another good one, Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. That's a good prayer to pray over you and your family. It talks about not forgetting the law and putting it on your heart. And if we do, there's length of life and peace will be added. And we're not to forsake mercy, and we're to bind it around our neck and write it on our heart. And he said, if we do, we'll find favor in high esteem with God and man. How many would like to have, esteem high favor with God and man? See? That's what the guy in Proverbs. And so what I did is again, I rewrote it, and this is kind of praying this over you. I will study God's laws and keep them in my heart so that I will enjoy good life and be filled with peace. You know? That's praying that same thing over us. Today I will welcome God's mercy and truth into my heart so I can operate in mercy and truth. And I can and will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Today, Lord, I will trust in you with all my heart. I will not lean to my own understanding. Sometimes you ever say that? Well, I just don't understand. Well, stop. Some things you just don't understand. You understand? He said, today, today I will not lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways I'll acknowledge God, you know, and God will direct my path. That's a promise that he had, and you're praying that over you. I will not rely on my own wisdom, but I will fear the Lord and walk in his word, and I will depart from evil. That's part of the Lord's prayer, to deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. And this, and I do this. I will bring it, and as I do that, it will do this. It will bring health to my flesh and strength to my bones. You know, there's a good prayer for you, Randy. Talking about your bones aching, and as I do this, this will bring strength to my body and health to my bones. Today I will honor the Lord with my possessions, it talks about. And the first part of my income I will have, and so I will have plenty of money in the bank, and I will enjoy and have a blessed life. He talks about VATs and all, but that's their accounts. So personalize it and make it fit you. Make it fit where you are. And what you're doing and where you're at. You know, that's a part of praying prayer over yourself. I heard one of the speakers was talking about James. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And this is the thought that came to me. That, you know, we know about prayer, but do we do prayer the way we should? And here's the thought that came to me. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When we don't do what we know to do, we're worse than that ignorant person. Because an ignorant person is walking in darkness, but we're walking in deception. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But that's what it says. Be ye doers of what you know, so you don't be deceived. And I think the church, I know in my personal life, I have not prayed effective, fervent prayer the way I need to pray it. And I want to change that, and I want to lead in that, and I want you to follow me in that, and I want to see the power of God displayed in our midst. And if you don't go with us, you could be walking in deception. If you don't do what you know to do. So, go with us. Joshua put it this way, choose you this day who you will serve. And I'd like for us to look at it in that light, that we're going to serve the body of Christ, and one of the areas is prayer. You know, we're going to serve the body of Christ in prayer. Somebody asks you, what do you do here at Prayer Faith? You say, well, one of the things I do, I'm a prayer warrior. See? That's a foundation layer, isn't it? That's the one that gets the soil ready and gets the climate ready and gets everything ready. Same way with the disciples. On our disciples, the people that are on the discipleship team, I'd like for us to have a specific prayer that they can pray over our discipleship program. I'd like to see one on Wednesday night, Miss Donna, that we could say, this is what I want you to pray, you know. Whatever it is, you know, that the climate will be filled with the glory of God. You know, I don't know, but you know what it would be. And so we can help you pray specifically over your needs. Here's the scripture I want you to write down. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 8. And this is the command that God gives to all of His people. And we'll close with this. Here are my directions. This is the Living Bible, okay? I like the way it said it, so I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. 1 Timothy 2:1. Here are my directions. Pray much for others. Everybody say that. Pray much for others. Plead for God's mercy upon them. Give thanks for all He is going to do for them. See? And I like to incorporate that. You know, that's the prophetic kind of prayer. We're going to give you thanks, God, for 200 by 210. That's what God's going to do. And you're going to help me reach and be a part of that through prayer and being friendly and being a light in this community and being a light where I am. Dan gave us a challenge I'd like to pass on to the rest of you in our leadership meetings. He said, you know what? Everybody should have 7 people around you that you influence that don't know Christ that you can pray over. Now, that could be family members, that could be whomever, but I'd like to give you the same challenge to build a list to say, everybody ought to be praying over at least 7 people that you know just as an intercessor, and let them know that I'm praying over you. There's something powerful about that. 2 men that I've led to the Lord, one my cousin, and one was a farmer down there when I lived out in the country. Very difficult to reach, but both of them I sowed a season of prayer for, one of them for a year or two, and then of them for about 3 years. But I'd let them know, I'm praying for you. You know, I'd see them, I'm praying for you. You ready to receive Christ today? Oh, not today, you know. But let's get back on to what's important to God. How many know the souls is important to God? Not the economy, not gas prices, none of that. He's going to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. So let's focus on what His business, kind of like I did yesterday when I was doing His business. I said, what about the renter? And cash came that day. So let's focus on His business, and everything we need will show up at our door. He'll make a way. But He said, pray for others, plead for God's mercy upon them, give thanks for all He is going to do for them. Pray in this way for kings and all others who are in authority over us. And that's why I'd like for all of our department leaders to get a prayer, specific prayer that we can pray over you. You know. Because how many knows it's our responsibility to pray over our leaders. And so, if you'll bring us those, we'll post them. We can hand one out to everybody and get them praying for you. Pray for all those in authority over us or are in places of high responsibility. And I don't know any higher responsibility than getting the gospel in people. You know, we may think about military or political, but there's no higher authority than getting the gospel and getting truth in a world where it's like this video we saw. I believe in everything. Gays and geeks and ghosts. If you hadn't seen it, the gays and the geeks and the ghosts are all over the TV and the media. Nothing wrong with geeks, they're just, that's their calling, but, you know, the others are. Right, geeks? All the geeks said amen. Be proud of being a, you know, I wish I was more geeky. I know nothing about that stuff. And it says, pray for those in high places and high authority or responsibility so that, listen to this, so that we can live in peace and quietness. A part of our struggle and battle is lack of our prayer for our leaders. Did you get that? A part of our struggle is not praying over our leaders. How many just gripe about our politicians instead of pray over them? Easy to gripe, and it's harder to pray, isn't it? You can go ahead and repent just as soon as you get a chance. So that we can live. See, we're praying for them, but he says, so we can live in peace and quietness, spending our time in godly living and thinking about much about the Lord. Wow. See how that works? You want to get some stress off of you? Pray for somebody else, he says. That'll bring quietness and peace to your life and get your mind focused back on the Lord. Isn't that? That's a win-win situation, isn't it? He said, this is good and pleases God our Savior. So you're going to live less stressed, you're going to bless people with prayers, and you know that you're doing something that pleases God. Is there any other thing that you know that's pleasing God? There's two things I know that he says in the Bible that we can please him. One is pray over other people and responsibility, and the other is pay your tithe. He receives that as holy as unto the Lord. So if you want peace, practice those two for a starter. Use your gift. You add that to it, but right now we're focused on prayer. For he longs for all to be saved and understand this truth. There's a good prayer. Lord, and when we're praying for our community, that every person would be saved and understand the truth of God's Word. You know, that's a great thing to pray over our neighborhoods and over your seven that you're praying for. That God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together. And, you know, we can just thank God for our mediator, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, by giving his life for all mankind. This is the message that at the proper time God gave to the world. And we're just extension of that message is all we're doing. And I have been chosen, this is the absolute truth, as God's minister and missionary to teach this truth to the Gentiles. How many knows we are the Gentiles teaching Gentiles? So he said, pass it on. You know, take what you have and pass it on. I told Mark the other day, I said, we're going to step up our process on trying to assimilate people into the body of Christ. Not for our sake, for them. For them. He said, I've been sent to the Gentiles to show them God's plan of salvation through faith. He says, so I want men everywhere to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from sin and anger and resentment. Now, here, write this down, 200 by 210. 200 by 210. Put that on your neighborhood thing if you've got it with you, just 200 by 210. And then say, you know, put beside that, you know what? God, help me to reach my part. Help me to reach my part. And just begin to invest in prayer. Might put your seven along there. And it don't matter if you think you can reach them or not. That doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you think you ever have a chance. I'm telling you, there's people that God can call situations in their life to turn them around just like that. I went up to one of the hospitals here in town one time, and there was a guy, they called me from down home where I used to live, and they said, Pastor, would you go up and see this guy? I said, you know, he's quite a rounder, had a pretty colorful life and all that. And didn't tell me a lot about him, but I went up. His name was Roland. What was his first name? Something Roland. Anyway, I met him, and we had a good conversation, and before we left, I looked him in the eyes and said, can I pray over you before I leave? He said, yes, sir, you can. And what had happened, he went over, his daughter called, and his son-in-law was abusing his daughter. He went over to the house, and his son-in-law had a shotgun and pointed it at him, and he started toward his son-in-law, and when he pulled that gun out, he turned like this and shot him right here on his thigh, and it left a big hole there. And he had to do skin graft after skin graft, and his toes were purple and black, and it was awful looking. And so before I prayed for him, I said, let me ask you something. Clint was his first name. I said, Clint, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? He said, no, sir, I don't. I said, well, I believe before you can pray and it be effective. I said, I can pray over you as a Christian, but I believe before it be effective for you, you need to receive Christ into your heart. Is there any reason why you wouldn't want to do that today? And let me know, when a big bad guy sitting there with a big bad hole in his thigh, he's not quite so bad anymore. And he said, no, there's no reason. You know, God put him on his back, put him in position. And I'm just telling you this to say that God can put the big bad people that you're afraid of to witness to in position where they can hear. And so I prayed over him and led him to the Lord, and I went and got him a Bible, and just like Haley's got her name here, I put his name on his Bible and had him put it on her, and I took it up there and I said, "Now start reading John, and if you had any questions, just write them down and I'll answer them next time I come." And so he wrote his questions down, and when I came the next time and I prayed over him, and I called some of the folks down home, and I said, "Now I led Clint to the Lord, and you need to disciple him when he gets down there." And they said, "You led Clint Roland to Jesus?" They said, one of my cousins said, "Clint Roland has whooped everybody in the county twice." I said, "Well, he's not so bad right now." And he found that he did lose his foot. And after all, you know, they tried to save it, but they couldn't. But I'm telling you, people were praying over that man because he was ready. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. So I'd like to just pick out, you know, you could call it your bad list. Here's my bad list, you know. Whatever you want to do. Just somebody that you says they're worth prayer and they're not going to hell. If they do, it'd be through my prayer and my love for them. Just write them down and let's pray together and just let's see what God will do. I'd just like to hear testimonies of people coming to Christ. I'd like to hear testimonies of leaders leading in a way they've never led because somebody said, "I'm going to pray over you every day." Every day. Now, here's my weakness, and I want you to help me with it. I focus on this. Next week I'll be focused on a different part, and it'll get lost somewhere. I need somebody just fervent in prayer to say, "I want to be your helper." Or I could have two or three helpers. I don't care. But I need somebody to pray about it. If you know now you'd like to do it and you're fervent in prayer and that's just something that excites you to no end and you're a fervent prayer, you can raise your hand right now and I'll identify you. But if you don't know, I need some prayer warriors to help me keep this on the table, is what I'm saying. Are you a good prayer warrior? Okay. You a good prayer warrior? Okay, those four? Anymore. What we need to do is get together and just sit down and have a come to Jesus meeting and say, you know, here's what we're going to be accountable for and here's what we're going to keep before the people and help me distribute this out because this is something, if we let this fall by the wayside, it's going to hurt us drastically. This is something that's important. So you four, and if you want to join our team and you're committed to prayer, that's fine too. Or you've got good organizational skills and you want to use those to help us. But I need you all as a team to help me, okay? So we got our meeting after church. Jan, why don't you write the names down? It's Randy and you and Miss Thelma. Anyone else wanted to? Who? Oh, you got them down there? And Dennis. Okay, write those names down, and we'll get together and we'll meet on this because I want to get this organized and get this to our church and keep this before our church.
Can I share something with you that I need to understand? I was not getting up this morning, coming to prayer meeting, sharing something that was really on my heart, and it just winds up with it. I was kind of like Randy, just one of my joints and everything I heard, and she said, "You want to come to prayer meeting to Sunday school?" I thought I was in Sunday school. I got an email from a former pastor of mine. I gave a couple of people this. But if you read this, if I could read it, it lines out almost exactly what you want about Elijah and prayer.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's put it on our meeting thing. We'll use part of that as keeping this before us. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll use that as a tool. Because we need stuff just like that. So bring that to the meeting with you. And stuff like that's what we're wanting to use. So, but here's what I want to do. Let's pray, and let's ask God to renew our hearts for prayer. Would you do it with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for stopping us at this time today and saying it's time to pray, church. You have a great vision, and you have a great burden to see souls saved, but it's not going to happen if you don't come to me with prayer. If you don't go and plant with prayer and water with prayer and do battle in prayer. And so today, God, we give with a renewed heart, a renewed mind to pray. Help me, Lord, as the pastor and the shepherd of this church to step up and make a newfound commitment in prayer. To be focused more than I've ever been focused before as the leader of this church. And I pray for all of our leaders and all of our members, Lord, that today we'll take a new commitment and say we're going to step up. because we believe in the power of prayer. Lord, when Job's friends were mean to him, literally, accusing him of sin, and he was frustrated, Job, before you would forgive his friends, Job had to pray over them. So some people will not be forgiven or come to Christ unless we pray over them. Some people, you have directed us to pray over them and to invest prayer in. Just like you did with Job's friend or the king Abimelech when you commanded to let Abraham pray for you and then I'll restore your house. Some things just don't get done without prayer. Put that in our hearts, Lord, and say, and so that it will remind us that, you know what, we need to pray. This is an urgent request. This is a timely event. Now help us, Lord, as leaders, to give clear and precise instructions on what our members and our congregation needs to be joining us in prayer. This morning, Lord, we're praying over unity. We're praying over our communities. We've already given prayer directives for a community and for 200 by 210. We'll start with that, Lord, and we ask you to help us to do that. Help us to be committed, to just to get up and pray that and then say, Lord, help me to reach my part in Jesus' name. God, that's a simple prayer, but that's a powerful prayer that will literally bring souls from the pits of hell to the heavens. So we ask you to grant it, Lord, today. Help us to discipline ourselves so we can go from discipline in prayer to delight, where it becomes such a vibrant part of our life that we'll just look forward to it every day. Getting up and spending time with you and watching you add all these things that we need to our lives. Watching you, well, as we get up every day, we'll watch stress just fall off in Jesus' name, because we've got our focus in the right place today. And we thank you, God, for birthing prayer and a new urgency and a new desire for prayer into this body today in Jesus' name. And while Christians praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today, we want to give you an opportunity to invite Christ into your life. If you're strayed from the Lord, or you got sin in your life, or if you haven't made Christ Lord of your life, either one of those today, I want to pray over you. If you just lift up your hand, I'd like for you to invite Christ into your situation, into your life. Anyone today, sin in your life, or you need salvation through Jesus Christ? Everybody good today? Praise the Lord.
Hi, for all of those who are interested in going to Guatemala in March 2009, about 5 minutes after church, we're going to meet in Fellowship Hall for maximum 15 minutes just to go over what it's about. And if you're interested, please show up. We really seek the support of the whole church, you know, whether it be through prayer.